people, listen up. It's a fucking lockdown right now.
Come off it. We're not in a prison drama, are we?
We are in a prison drama. This is the fucking Shawshank Redemption, right? But with more tunneling through shit, no fucking redemption.
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Sheriff, this is no time to panic. This is the perfect time to panic.
And he won't let me sleep.
I ain't going with you. I'm going with Child.
I'm taking down.
Fuck you, Popper. I'm going with you.
Who says I want you going with me?
Oh, what the bullshit?
The whole world gone crazy.
Hey!
Everybody calm the fuck down. Before he would let me build, I wish somebody would come and dry my fever away. I wish somebody come and dry my fever away. This fever I'm having sure is in my way. This fever I'm having sure is hard on.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Holmes Movies Recommends. My name is Anders Holmes, as always, and as always, I'm joined by my brother Adam over Skype in the United States of America.
Hello, the internet still works.
How's it all? How are you doing today?
Fine, but we don't have to go over this again, because this is probably going to stay relevant for the next, like, seven episodes, but...
Yeah.
You know, all... let's just talk about films. Can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Oh God. Okay. What are you recommending? What am I recommending today? It's my turn. Okay.
Yeah, I recommended an episode. I mean, I recommended a film on the last episode.
Yeah. Let me continually recommend for people to read the words of W.E.B. Du Bois, not just because they're fantastic, and Du Bois is still an underread and overlooked figure in American literary history, but also because I happen to work to safeguard his legacy at the W.E.B. Du Bois Center at UMass Amherst. So if you read Du Bois, that shows that I'm doing my job right. But I'm recommending today a film from the 1970s, which is a decade that you know I love.
Yep, me too.
And this is one of my all-time favorite films. It is 1973's The Long Goodbye, directed by Robert Altman. It is an adaptation, of course, of the Raymond Chandler novel. So you've got incredible source material, but you've also got the most amazing array of talent on this film.
Elliot Gould.
Yeah, you have Lou Lombardo does the editing. The script is obviously, well, partly it's by Raymond Chandler, but Lee Brackett.
Who wrote Empire Strikes Back.
Who wrote The Empire Strikes Back, correct. And a bunch of other great, great things. The cinematography was by Vilmos Zsigmond.
Yeah. I just want to go back to Lee Brackett. She also wrote The Big Sleep and Rio Bravo.
Right. So Lee Brackett is someone you should not mess with when it comes to screenwriting.
Yeah. And Vilmos Zsigmond, he was a great cinematographer. Him and like Laszlo Kovacs, they were like the two like main cinematographers this time.
Yeah, if you're wondering what else Vilmos Zsigmond did, he did Deliverance, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, The Deer Hunter, McCabe and Mrs. Miller, The Sugarland Express, a bunch of other cool stuff. And the composer on the film was, speaking of Empire Strikes Back,
what?
John Williams.
John Williams?
The composer was John Williams.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
So, you've got an amazing array of talent, and then you've also got one of the best performances in the Elliot Gould canon. Elliot Gould is absolutely brilliant in this film as a sort of shabby private detective, Philip Marlowe. Philip Marlowe for the 1970s, who still feels rooted in the past. And he's in danger, of course, as everyone is in this film, of getting completely blown out of the water by the one-of-a-kind man-mountain behemoth monster that is Sterling Hayden, who is astonishing in this film as the author Roger Wade, who's clearly based in part on Ernest Hemingway, who is, you know, he's huge, he's drunk, He's clearly actually drunk in the film. And it's one of the best, it's one of the most incredible performances you'll see. It is, for me, my favorite Sterling Hayden role, yeah. even more so than, you know, his role in Doctor Strangelove. Or what's the name of his character in Doctor Strangelove?
What's his name? Jack D. Ripper.
Yes, that's right. It's just an incredible performance, as far as I'm concerned. It's about the disappearance of Philip Marlowe's friend, who he's disappeared after supposedly killing his wife. What's actually happened is that Philip Marlowe drove him to Tijuana. Texas. That sort of sets up the mystery, but there's all these other people sort of connected in the plot, and you have a wonderful mobster played by Mark Rydell, who has among his henchmen an uncredited Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's amazing. It's the best cameo in the world. Is like a pre-Terminator Governator.
Oh Lord, it's a long time before the Terminator, that's for sure.
It's the governor of California right there, or the future governor of California right there.
Future governor of California. The current governor of California in the film is also name-checked. The current governor who was governor when the film was released is name-checked in the film, and that's Ronald Reagan. California has some interesting history of governors.
Ronald Reagan? The actor?
Yeah. Who's vice president? Jerry Lewis? hello, Dougie.
Sorry, I had to say it.
Yeah. It's just full of excellent and wonderful little bits, and it's incredibly cool. Yeah. The dialogue is very naturalistic, as you'd expect. A lot of it's improvised, but the whole film just oozes this kind of very like, just, I don't know if there is a film that's more effortlessly cool than this. I mean, maybe something like Diva or Rio Bravo is a good example. Like Lee Brackett really has an ear for that kind of writing. In many ways, it feels like it was co-directed by Howard Hawks. You know, and it feels a little bit stoned, but not. It's, you definitely wouldn't call it like psychedelic in any way.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't either.
And I think, despite shifting to a different time. It still feels very true to the source material. It's still kind of obsessed with Los Angeles and its seediness and its the fascination of the underground world. And yeah. You know, having read the novel as well, I think it does do right by this story. So, you know, I think actually in the Robert Altman canon, this is sort of overlooked.
It is. And this film, when it came out, was not well received. At all, really?
Really?
Jay Cox, who wrote in the Time magazine, who's also a screenwriter and worked with Mr. Martin Scorsese. He said Altman's lazy, haphazard put down is without affection or understanding, a nose thumb not only at the idea of Philip Marlowe but at the genre that his tough guy, soft heart character epitomizes. It is a curious spectacle to see Altman mocking a level of achievement to which at his best he could only aspire.
Well, he's wrong.
Would you like to hear what somebody else said?
Who's that?
Charles Champlin of the Los Angeles Times, Chaplin with an M in between the he said,
excuse me, what are you talking about? Are you saying Charlie Chaplin wrote a review of the film?
No, Charlie Champlin.
Okay, what did Charlie Champlin have to say about this?
Champlin. He found the film quite sleek, marvelously, and inventively photographed. The problem is that the Altman Brackett Marlowe, played by Elliot Gould, is an untidy, unshaven, semi-illiterate, dimwit slob who could not locate a missing skyscraper and would be refused service at a hot dog stand. He is not Chandler's Marlowe or mine, and I can't find him interesting, sympathetic, or amusing, and I can't be sure who will.
No, again, wrong. This guy is a fantastic Marlowe. Why? Because Marlowe is shabby, because Marlowe is seedy, because he would sometimes get refused service at a hot dog stand.
Yeah,
Marlowe is not some kind of fucking genius in the books. He's persistent, he's principled, he is consistently thwarted, but he never gives up. And this is the Marlowe you get in this film. And also, yeah, who says he has to be exactly the same as the Marlowe in the books? That's like saying that Daniel Craig is wrong because he's blonde. It isn't the same as the character in the Ian Fleming novels. It's like we've moved on. I think implying that this is some kind of insult to the legacy is completely daft. I think it, as I said before, completely works in harmony with the source material and with the previous incarnations of Marlowe. And when you consider that some of those incarnations are absolutely legendary, I think this is a good, this is a fair shot. I also think, of course, that the film Farewell My Lovely with Robert Mitchum, which is a period film, which is a much more straight adaptation of the novel Farewell My Lovely, is also really good. Both approaches are valid, but I do think this one is more interesting. I also would say this film makes an excellent pairing with The Big Lebowski.
It does, yeah. It has, just that bit where he goes out to get cat food and he's just mumbling to himself, and I like the way that Altman, instead of having him narrate in the background or anything like that, or put like a voiceover in it like that, he's mumbling his own thoughts and stuff like that. And I just love that scene where he just goes to get cat food and then you see Terry Lennox show up and the John Williams score plays and things like that. It's such a nice little great introduction to the character, but also to the world of 1970s Los Angeles. I'm reading this on Wikipedia, and it's been Long Goodbye has been described as a study of a moral and decent man cast adrift in a selfish, self-obsessed society where lives can be thrown away without a backward glance, and any notions of friendship and loyalty are meaningless.
Yeah, and I agree with that, and I just also love the way that it dwells on the on old Hollywood, and it plays, there are musical references, and there is a character who is just a living embodiment of old Hollywood, which is the attendant at the gated community which Lennox and Wade both lived in, who basically does impressions of old movie stars, including Walter Brennan, which always makes me think of you. Come for Elliot Gould, stay for Sterling Hayden, and enjoy a film that's made by an absolute pack of geniuses, because this really is a special movie. And if you like this film, then I like you.
Yeah.
Basically. And it's a real treat. And a great piece of the new Hollywood. It's like, it sort of, for me, it embodies the new Hollywood.
Yeah, I feel like Altman was he was just one of those directors who was one of a kind. I think if anyone tried to copy him, it would just be Altman-esque, but it wouldn't be Altman. It wouldn't be his sort of style or anything like that. I think he's...
Yeah, and let's be honest, like, the guy hasn't made that many, like, amazing films. MASH has its problems. Gosford Park is good, but, it's also, it's a drawing room murder mystery done really, really well. Nashville is supposed to be remarkable. I haven't seen that. McCabe and Mrs. Miller is incredible.
Yeah.
But this isn't someone with a huge list of credits. This is someone I'd compare to someone like Coppola, who has a few amazing films to his name, and then there are others where there's less success. So, but I would say I'd put this among the great films that Altman has done, and I really do think it's worth watching. So that's my recommendation for today.
I just love the way he, just getting back to some stuff, he camera movement.
I'm finished.
Okay. The little funny little anecdote on set. Both Lee Brackett and Robert Altman have said that Sterling Hayden and Elliot Gould's dialogue during the drinking scenes was improvised. That's because Hayden was drunk and stoned off marijuana most of the time.
Yeah, well, that's hardly surprising.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
And Altman, on the commentary of the DVD, he did say he was very sad that Lee Brackett died before the film was released and never got a chance to see it.
Well, how come she... Wait a minute. How could she write The Empire Strikes Back if she died?
Well, she died in 1979 and she completed a first draft of Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, so she never watched The Long Goodbye?
No, she never watched it. She never saw the completed...
What's her fault then? It came out in 73. She had 6 good years to watch it. I'm sorry. Robert Altman cared that much, he would have driven a copy over to her house.
Yeah, I know.
It's a bit confusing, frankly. It was, he never had a chance to see it. It was in the fucking cinema.
Yeah.
That's very confusing. Okay, well, anyway, he's dead, so we can't ask him.
Yeah.
All right, let's get out of here. I look forward to seeing what you've got to recommend tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah, The Long Goodbye. Do check it out. Have a good day and stay safe. Doctor said, ain't the fever on? That your lover has another man. Doctor, get your fever gauge and put it under my tongue. Doctor, get your fever gauge and put it under my tongue. Doctor says all you need, your lover in your arm. I want my lover. Come and dry my fever away. I want my love. Come and dry my fever away. Doctor said he'd do me more good.